didn't get to any more of the stories, there's a bunch of other stuff. Please go check out the blog post. There's some stuff about Google that's good, and there's a great story.
This is the Quality News Network. In Islamabad, Pakistan, hundreds of Islamic students have taken over the Red Mosque again, 2 weeks after a battle between militants and government forces in the compound killed more than 100. A restaurant was bombed there this morning, killing 6 and wounding 15. No word from the Taliban on the condition of 22 South Korean hostages after this morning's ransom deadline passed. Several hours ago, the Taliban threatened to kill them if the Afghan government failed to release imprisoned Islamic militants. NASA officials will hold a press conference today to address two reports released yesterday. One alleges that in the past, astronauts in the shuttle program flew drunk. Another says an employee of a NASA subcontractor has been arrested for deliberately sabotaging a computer scheduled for delivery to the International Space Station. On Capitol Hill, the Senate overwhelmingly approved legislation proposed by the 9/11 Commission. Among other provisions, the security measures mandate closer inspection of air and sea cargo containers. Afghan officials say a Thursday night battle in southern Afghanistan killed an estimated 50 militants and at least 28 civilians. The fatalities were reportedly the result of NATO airstrikes. In Karbala, Iraq, a clash between Shia militants and U.S.-led forces today killed 17 and wounded nearly two dozen. Another American soldier was killed. 8 have died in Iraq within the past 2 days. Australia has dropped all terror charges against an Indian doctor accused of involvement in unsuccessful bomb attacks last month in the UK. The prosecutor says there is insufficient evidence against the physician and police made major mistakes in the case. Wildfires are reported in 11 states, most of them in the West. Hardest hit is Idaho. Nearly a million acres are burning. In Hazleton, Pennsylvania, a city law aimed at punishing landlords and employers who deal with illegal immigrants has been ruled unconstitutional. And the National Transportation Safety Board today cited pilot error in the Kentucky Comair commuter plane crash that killed 49 people last year. Investigators say pilots should have noticed they were taking off on the wrong runway. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distant guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
NASA says its experimental X-48B jet successfully completed its first test flight outside of Edwards Air Force Base in California. Engineers say development of the prototype is the first step in production of the world's quietest, most fuel-efficient jet. The nation's top marketers of bottled water, Pepsi and Coca-Cola, have agreed to inform consumers their products are purified tap water taken from public reservoirs. U.S. customers spend as much as $15 billion annually on bottled water. Regulators from the EU have filed charges against computer chipmaker Intel. Intel is accused of attempting to corner the market by denying customers access to the company's rival, Advanced Micro Devices. Figures released by the Commerce Department today indicate the U.S. economy this past quarter grew at the strongest rate in more than a year, 3.4%. Kia Motors posted a 36% jump in quarterly net profit. South Korea's second-largest automaker credited effective cost-cutting measures and strong domestic sales. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.46 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 22 points, the Nasdaq down 6 points, the S&P 500 down 3. There's more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Hey, you over there, put those pliers down. Put those snippers down. Hey, we got you from last time, pal. You're not cutting me off again. Hey, everybody, it's time to wake the hell up here. It's Friday on the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and I'm back live. Yes, this is not a rerun, unless it is a rerun from in the future, and then you can just disregard what I just said. But wake the hell up. It's Friday. Get up. Get exercising. It's the last day of the work week normally for normal people. Although, you know, in this day and age, the weekend doesn't really matter much, does it? Nah. But I'm back. We had an incident here, and I'm not really, to be perfectly honest, and I know Betsy put on the post that we believe it was vandals, and we do kind of sort of believe it was vandals, but we're really not entirely sure 100% of what happened. Somehow my phone line got cut, and we were having problems with so that used to live here. They came and they vandalized the floor beneath us, and then like one day I was between going to bed for work, going to bed from coming home from work, and then waking up that the phone line had been cut. I saw all my flashing, so you know, and Bob was like, Joe, you know, usually when you're not doing the show, and that's not what Bob sounds like at all. Of course, he's got a really nice, deep, good radio voice, but I'm doing what I can. But you know, Joe is, you're really not, you know, usually when you can't do the show, you give me an email and you let me know some way, shape, which is very true, because you know, look, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, and I'm not going to apologize for it because it's really. It's stuff that's sometimes out of my control. The fact of the matter is, this is not what I do for a living. I have a regular, evening job, so to speak. So, you know, it's not something that I can focus my entire time on. So it's something I would like to, and I hope that changes in the future. But in the meantime, you know, I do the show when I can do the show. I try to do it every day in the week, and I've been missing a few days here and there. Sometimes for technical issues, like what happened. And sometimes because, you know, I'll get up from work or I'll go to work and I'll come home from work having been awake for like 25 or 26 hours because I have trouble adjusting to this damn time slot. So, and you know, and I know people expect me to try to do a daily show and I do as much as I possibly can, but you know what? Until something changes, this is how it's going to be. And the, you know, obviously I had no control over somebody cutting my damn phone line. And it was very difficult because I had no way of calling the phone company to tell them that my phone line's been cut. I actually wound up, what happened was I tried to get this taken care of, on Tuesday. Well, I started to get it taken care of on Tuesday. And I grabbed my roommate's cell phone. But I had to ask his permission, of course, although he said I didn't really need it for a circumstance like this. And I tried to call up, AT&T's helpline, and I got their automated service, which was taking forever, and my roommate's like, Joe, I gotta go to work, and you're really gonna take care. So I went down to the local payphone, then the first one I went down to, which is like a block and a half from the house, I go in there, and I don't ever use payphones, but I go out there, and I use the payphone, and sometimes when you use the phone, it doesn't work. You can hear, but for some reason, the microphone doesn't work, because you can talk, but you can't hear it, because usually when your voice is going through, you hear it on the other end, you hear it in the area. And I'm trying to get in the other way and say, I didn't hear what you just said. Please tell me what you want. And I'm like, I'm trying to tell you, man. So I wound up going all the way over to the library to use the payphone there, and I got nothing but nickels. And the damn thing, you got to pick up the phone and get the dial tone, and then you start putting the coins in, and you got to be real, real fast, because if you don't do it fast enough, you get that little click, and then it says, make a call, please hang up and try again later. I said, I want to make a call, just give me a chance to get the damn coins in. Because you can't dial it, you can't. If you hang up and try to do it before you hang up, or before you pick up the phone, the coins just go right through. They don't take. Needless to say, it was a very friggin' frustrating day. I finally did manage to get through to them, let them know what was going on, and they said it would be fixed anywhere between what time I called, which was approximately around 10, 11 a.m. on Tuesday, I guess it was, and Wednesday evening at 7:30. So, and it turned out that it was, it didn't get fixed till sometime, well, when did it get fixed? But, at any rate, it got fixed eventually, and, it wasn't fixed in time for me to do the show yesterday, I know that. That's all I know. And actually, no, Bob, I can't dial the number. They say you must put the money, you know, they say you have to do it. Please hang up and put the money in. I'm serious. That's what it said on the phone. Bob Kincaid's telling me that in the Head On Radio Network chat room. By the way, go to the Head On Radio Network chat room if you want. www.headonradionetwork.com. Click on the chat room link and follow that there, and you'll get to talk to some of the smartest people on the internet. Bob Kincaid is there, our good friend who is being the producer today. Myself, I'm there. ELO and Lemon314 is there. And we know Lemon314 is there because Lemon, he offed Lemon313 and 315. So we've got the numbers. Actually, that's supposed to be Pi. Lemon Pi is what I'm told. And 3.14 represents Pi, but it's really not 3.14. That's really kind of cheating. 3.14159, I think, is as far back as I go. I can compute it to 400 digits if I make everything up. At any rate, needless to say, it was frustrating as hell. And I still don't know. I've got to call the phone company back to see if I can find out if it was actually somebody physically cutting the line. Because I looked out. I know where the phone line comes into the house. And I looked down and I followed it down as far as I can go. And I didn't see any cut. So I don't know what the hell it was. And it's not helping that because we've had vandal problems, that my landlord locked the front gate, and I don't have a key to the front gate. But the back door is open, which is really weird. Which, and actually, I'm glad they didn't lock that, because I don't have a key to the back gate either. So if they were to be locking that, I'd be in a lot of trouble. And I couldn't even call work to say, well, you know, I'm really kind of locked in here. Unless I feel like climbing the fence. But I called. What I did was I called up, and this is going to get into the next thing that I want to talk about. But when I was at the payphone, I used it, and actually I didn't need to put the money in to call the phone company because it was an 800 number. And I also called Bob here at the 877 number to let him know what was going on. But I called up my work to find out about this, and I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, and I'm sure I have. The promotion I'm hopeful to get to second shift supervisor. But I really mainly called them because I was afraid that since my phone was out, they've been calling me saying, okay, we've scheduled your interview for this, you know, for today, and you need to come down here today. And I didn't want to miss that. So I called my boss and I let him know what was going on. And he was like, well, you know, you do have to interview for the job. So I said, oh, yeah, I know I got an interview for it, but I just want to let you know that, you know, that what's going on with my phone here, so I don't know when it's going to get fixed again. So we've got me set up for next Tuesday, actually, for this interview. At least that's what he said, and I hope it comes through with it. Because, you know, look, really, at this point in my life, I need some stability. And I need some emotional stability, because I have nothing but stress over the last few years. And a big part of that, though not the only thing, a big part of that is just never having enough money. And I know I'm not the only one in that boat. I mean, I just got paid today, and that paycheck's gone again. And I can never get, you know, and it's a stressful thing, because, and when you're dealing with that, when you're dealing with this type of stress, it's the type of thing that maybe you want to put it away from you, put it out of your mind for a while, but that's very, very difficult to do when the evidence of your poverty is right there all around you. I mean, I'm sitting here at this desk, which is trash picked, and I've got an air mattress on the floor. So I'm reminded of that. And it's very depressing not to be able to do things that you want to do, like go out and get some furniture. You know? Or worry about, if I get something to eat, will that break the bank account? But, you know, it's a type of stress that a lot of people look through. And as bad off as I have it, I say it all the time, I'm hardly in the worst position than a lot of people. I mean, there's a good 4 or 5 billion people in the world that maybe are in much worse situation than I am. Maybe not that many, but a lot, okay? I think I'm certainly in the top, say, 40% of the world as far as living condition is concerned. Because I've got a place to stay, and it's a nice place. And even when I'm late on the rent, the landlord is not going crazy about it, which he has every right to. Because I just got enough of this paycheck to pay for last month's rent. You see what I'm saying? But what I need in my life is a little stability. And a little emotional stability will come if I have a little bit of financial stability. That's what I'm trying to say. And if I get the supervisor position, and hopefully I can get that and hang on to that for a couple of years so that I can put some money in the bank and save some money and at least clear that up. I remember, when my Kathy died, I got about $3,000 or so from donations from various sources, friends, family, stuff like that. And, I had been living basically in poverty for a long time, and I had this money, and I hadn't decided what I wanted to do yet. At the time I was still kind of hoping to stay down there in Georgia and make a go of it there. So what I did was, I had to spend some of the money. I rented a vehicle to go down to Kathy's funeral because that's about $300 or $400 total for that and the gas and all the other stuff. I bought a bed and I cleaned out my room Kathy and I had lived in. I just cleaned it all out, emptied it completely, cleaned the carpet, got a carpet cleaner, cleaned the carpet myself, did all of that stuff, and got new furniture, got a new computer desk, got a new bed. Nothing fancy. Nothing really expensive. I didn't go, I didn't go to Mr. Fancy's, bed and mattress sale and spend $600 on a mattress. A couple hundred bucks, nice mattress, but like that. And when my friend Phyllis Huster, who has been on the show from time to time, she came over and she was like, I can't believe what you did to this place. And I said, it's stuff that I needed to do for a long time. I just couldn't do it. And that's the situation I'm kind of in now. I don't have any money to do stuff, but if I get that situation, then I'll have a lot of energy to do stuff. The stress is just, for those of you who've lived under that and know what I'm talking about, it's like a weight that's on you all the time. And so I'm hopeful that I get this promotion, and I really should, because quite frankly, they do better to hire me than they would to bring in somebody from the outside. At least I'm a known quantity, and they wouldn't have to train me from scratch. Anyway, I'm running a little over. Let's go ahead and take our break. If you want to give me a call, if you want to talk to me, I've got some things I want to talk about, but if you've got things you want to talk about, give me a call, 304-658-5453, or the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans, tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great: quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cuppa Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio. Voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker, nay, anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, number to call in if you want to call in. I've got stuff to talk about, but if you've got anything you want to talk about, please feel free. 1-304-658-5453. Use up those free minutes. You got free minutes. I know you got free minutes. And especially if you have a free long distance plan like I've got, which I pay through the teeth for. I should really stop doing that. Or you can call the toll free number 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And you can talk to me. You can talk to me. Because I talk. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do. I talk. I talk about things. I heard some things. I see some things. Anyway. Simpsons movie comes out today. I'm probably going to go grab a shower after I finish work and see where I can catch a matinee, catch it cheaper. You know, see first showing or whatnot. You know, and you go in the theaters at night. And maybe sitting in a seat in a big crowd is better, but I just want to get a feel for the movie. According to the reviews and stuff that I've read, we get to see Bart's pee-pee in this movie. Bart riding his skateboard naked through Springfield, and we get to see Bart's Springfield. I'm sure we're all looking forward to that. What is Bart, about 10 years old? I saw Matt Groening on The Daily Show, who got a huge... They didn't show the audience. I'm sure it was a standing ovation, but he got a huge ovation coming out for The Daily Show. And Jon Stewart was like, okay, Homer's 38 years old, and he knocked up Marge when they were right out of high school. So he's 38. Why is Bart not 18? Why is Bart not 19? Well, it's a cartoon. We can do anything we want. But he's not 18! He's 8, 9 years old. And it's actually, you know, it's more fun if they don't age to a certain extent. I mean, I've seen... like some comic strips. There was a comic strip for you older people. You might remember this one. Might still be going on, as a matter of fact, called Gasoline Alley. Not sure if you all remember that. But Gasoline Alley was a strip that ran, God, 50, 60 years, I think. And it was like a soap opera kind of. about, you know, the inhabitants of this little town there. And it was actually the first comic strip where a character was born, lived his entire life, and died in the same normal time span human beings do. You know, normal, regular human beings. And they're kind of doing that, the comic strip called For Better For Worse, which you probably are familiar with because it's one of the more popular ones, which is about a family who lives up in Canada. And it's by Lynn Johnston, a Canadian artist there, and she's done a good job. And they had a thing recently where one of the characters, a girl named April, celebrated her 16th birthday in the strip. And I thought, no, wait a minute, they work really hard to do the same type of thing that Gasoline Alley did. And looking back at it, I thought, you know, yeah, she did appear first 16 years ago. I remember those comic strips as it was yesterday. In fact, I remember the circumstance in the comic strip of how she was born. It was a blizzard out. And they couldn't get an ambulance to the place in time because it was too much snow. And there was a pizza delivery guy who had delivered pizzas, but he couldn't leave, so he was stuck there. So he had a whole bunch of pizzas with all of them sitting there while the main character, Ellie, was having the baby up in the bedroom. So, but anyway, what got me off on that tangent? I was talking about that. But The Simpsons, the characters haven't aged at all. Bart's still 9 or 10. Lisa's still 7 or 8, and Maggie's still an infant. Even though the show's been on for 18 years. 18 years! It's unimaginable to me. And they asked Matt Groening, why did it take so long to do a movie? And he said, well, we had to think of a title. It took a long time to think of a title. I read a couple of the reviews. The guy in the New York Times said, it's about as funny as your average Simpsons episode, which means I'm going to watch it only about 30 or 40 times. I don't do that anymore. People do that now. A lot of people do that. They'll go on and they'll watch a movie. They'll watch a movie 15, 20, 30 times. And I'm like, why? You see it once, you know, and then, you know, maybe you might want to see it again if you really, really liked it. But the way things are right now, you can just wait a few weeks and get it on DVD. Hell, you don't even have to wait a few weeks. I'm sure people out there already have bootleg copies of the Simpsons movie DVD. Hell, if I could get my hands on it, I would get one. I've got no compunctions about stuff like that, but I still want to go see it in the theater anyway. But I don't feel the need to watch a movie, you know, 20 or 30 times. I still got friends that do that. At any rate. But I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I'll probably just go by myself to watch it. It's not as much fun doing it, but, you know, whatever. I know, me being who I am, I'm always thinking about what, you know, what Kathy would have thought of stuff, and, you know, and I think she would really like seeing the Simpsons movie, so. I don't know if she'd care to see Bart's pee-pee, but other than that, she would probably like the movie. I've been reading the news, you know, and I was away from the web for a couple of days, and it's a good deal to get away from the internet from time to time, and I find myself obsessing on the computer, and I worry that I'm on the computer too often, and I really need to stop that, it's true. But like with everything else, I'm just going through some stressful times, and, you know, and my roommate said, Joe, you don't go out much, do you? And, you know, you're pretty much a homebody. I said, yeah, but, you know, if I had a little more money, I'd probably go out more. I definitely would go out more. It's sucky enough going out by yourself. It's bad enough to going out by yourself when you're not with somebody. Just, you know, go to a museum, go here, walk down the street, you know. But it's even worse when you have no money to buy things. You know, and I'm not talking about, oh, I'm going to go out and buy some a new car today or some furniture. You know, I'm talking about, well, you know, there's a guy selling hot dogs. I feel like a hot dog. Oh, I don't have enough money for it. Oh, well. It's depressing. It's depressing. But I do worry that I spend too much time in front of the computer, and my internet was out for a couple of days. So it gave me a chance to do some other things, do a little housework, or not as much as I really should. I'm trying to be a real lazy bastard about that lately. You know, do some laundry, things like that. But I also, I took out, when I was at the library making these phone calls, I went in there to take out a book, and it was a book that Bob Kincaid actually suggested for me. It's called Rubicons by a guy named Tom Holland. I actually read one of his more recent books called Persian Fire, which is about the Persian Wars, and it went about it in a very, very good way, I thought. In Persian Fires, he discussed, you know, how Darius got started and then Leonidas and the people of Athens. And, you know, he set the stage. He spends probably a good third to half of the book setting the stage for the events. And what Rubicon is about the last days of the Roman Empire. How they went from a republic, the last days of the Roman Republic, how they went from republic to empire. And it deals a lot with Julius Caesar, but I'm almost halfway through the book and they've only barely touched on Caesar. Right now they're talking about people like Crassus and Pompey and stuff like that. And I'm going to talk about that when we come back from break. We've got the Wins News coming up, so let's go ahead and do that. And we'll do the Wins News, and I'm going to talk about the book Rubicon and talk about the parallels between, well, as I see it anyway, between ancient Rome and the United States. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. UAW workers and retirees are bracing for the fight of a lifetime to defend their hard-won bargaining gains. Doug Cunningham reports from Michigan.
Rank-and-file UAW members and retirees are in no mood to give up concessions as the union bargains with the big three U.S. automakers. Phil Smith is education director at UAW Local 599 in Flint, Michigan.
This is going to be a real dogfight, but I don't believe things like VEBA and stuff like that. That's not going to happen. President Gettelfinger has already told the corporation we have an agreement on retiree benefits, and I don't believe he's going to move from that.
B.J. Walker, a retiree delegate for UAW Local 599 in Flint, picketed the opening of the auto talks in Detroit with a message from retirees.
We had 2 years ago some of our benefits, medical benefits, taken away from us. We're fired up. We don't want to lose any more medical benefits, any pension rights, and our jobs. And that's what we're staring at right in the face.
Brenda Weibert is retired from UAW Local 602 in Lansing.
I really believe in this team. I think they'll try their absolute best for the retirees.
Auto workers and their local and national UAW leaders all know they're in for a fight. But Local 599's Phil Smith says the UAW is up to this challenge.
The corporation wants to treat us worse than slaves. At least they had to feed slaves, and they don't even want to do that with us. They want everything. They're not going to get it.
A last-minute deal averted a potential showdown at the largest port system in the United States. A tentative agreement reached between the International Longshore Workers Clerical Division and 17 shipping lines and terminal operators put the brakes on potential strike action that would have put 930 workers on the picket lines. Those lines would not have been crossed by the 7,000-plus port workers. The ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach move 40% of the nation's cargo. Full details of the tentative agreement were not available at press time. But two of the biggest sticking points for the workers were wage increases and hiring practices. Looking for a job? The federal government may have a place for you. According to a report from the nonprofit organization Partnership for Public Service, nearly 200,000 federal jobs will open up between now and 2009. Nearly 528,000 full-time government workers are expected to retire over the next few years. Also, the war on terror is a boon for employment. Combined, the Department of Homeland Security and Defense will be adding more than 83,000 jobs. Here is today's economic report. Home sales are one of the many reasons being given for the plunge in the Dow on Thursday. A Commerce Department report showed new home sales plunging 6.6% last month, more than triple what had been projected. It was the largest drop in new home sales since the 12.7% drop in January of this year. Also causing concern is the price of oil creeping closer to $80 per barrel. Workers Independent News.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm Joe Vecchio, and I am your host. I am here to answer the musical question. Yo. By the way, I got a report in from my secret reporter inside the White House. I got a report that Vice President Cheney dined today for breakfast on a small child, I believe, of Asian descent, who was sauteed very nicely in brandy sauce with an apple crammed in its mouth. And, you know, he feasted on it with knife and fork, just straight out. You know, and he used the barbaric tactic, you know, grabbing an arm and chopping off. So, you know, the vice president continues to eat little children. He eats babies every day. He got a little... It was a sketch in Saturday Night Live, but very few people know it actually exists, a little thing called Placenta Helper, where people who have the placenta, and of course he had the fetal, some of the fetal tissue as well from time to time. So, you know, and I just want to make it clear to everybody, you know, that Dick Cheney eats babies every day, at least one meal of every day, he's got to have a sacrificial child. So and you know, I have very good sources on this that I'm not at liberty to reliefs, but I have very good. Let's just, you know, you can trust my sources, because my sources would never lie to me, considering they don't have any reason to, because I don't pay them anything anyway. So, but I was, you know, going through the websites today and last night when my internet came back on, and reading about Gonzalez, who's basically just refusing, you know, going to court and refusing to answer questions. We have Harriet Myers, who's just refusing to answer a summons, which you just can't do. I mean, you want to go there and plead the Fifth, that's one thing, but you can't just say no to a congressional subpoena. Well, you can if the people who issued the subpoena don't have the balls to place people under arrest who refuse to go. And I was comparing this with what I was reading in the book Rubicon, about how certain lines are being crossed here in this country. Now, a lot of people will say, and you won't get too much of an argument out of me, that Franklin Roosevelt probably crossed a few lines of his own, and he did out of sheer necessity. A lot of people don't understand how badly this country was in the late 20s and the early 30s. I mean, we think unemployment's a problem now. Imagine 10-15% unemployment. You know, and you had no Social Security, and you had no, you know, no benefits, and you had no real safety net. I mean, some places did. If you lived in the big city, you got some help. Hell, that's how Tammany Hall stayed in power for many, many years, because they provided the kind of services that the government does now. They were brutish, vicious thugs, but there was a good reason why everybody, you know, still supported them for many, many years. At any rate, the thing about it is, and of course, listening to the Wind's news about the workers fighting to keep their damn pensions. And I mean, you can't imagine people screaming welfare queens about this. These were people who worked for 20, 25 years. And they say, well, they had a union job. They didn't really do any work. We were, you know, us, especially down here, we're the only ones doing the real work. You got to load that pickup truck and bail that hay. That's the only real work. Him working them car factories, throwing screwing in them screws there. That's not real work. Screw you. But you know, but you know, Roosevelt had to do, I don't want to say extreme measures, but nothing he did was unconstitutional. He suggested one or two things that was unconstitutional. The National Relief Administration was declared unconstitutional, but that was kind of an iffy thing. You know, that's a policy issue, and you can get into pros and cons about that. But what the Bush administration is doing is above and beyond anything else. I mean, it really kind of started with Nixon in a big way, because Nixon was claiming, you know, powers that he didn't have. And what did he tell David Frost much later on? He said, if the president does it, it's not illegal, and that's just BS. That's just bull. And it really was, you know, a rogue presidency. But it's nothing compared to what's going on today. And the barrier has been pushed back a little bit. And that's what worries me. That's what concerns me. That once precedents are set, once you cross a certain line, you really just can't cross back it and say, okay, we're going to go back to what we were before. It's very, very difficult to do that. Now, next weekend, and hopefully everything should go well for that, but next weekend is the Early Coast Convention. It's going to be here in Chicago. And this is all going to the point that I want to talk about, in case you think I'm just kind of going off on a tangent here. But they are going to have all the Democratic presidential candidates there. And if I get the opportunity to, I'm going to ask them a very simple question. I'm going to say something along these lines. I'm going to say, in the history of the human race, there have been... we are the third society that was created as a republic. The first two devolved into empire. And we're seeing a lot of the same types of things happen that happened with ancient Athens and ancient Rome. And what I would like to know is, what would you do as president, and what can we do as citizens, more importantly, to pull us back from this brink. And I'm very interested to hear what the answers are to that question, if I get to ask it. I would be very interested in hearing what Senator Obama has to say, Senator Edwards, Senator Clinton, Congressman Kucinich. I very much want to hear what they have to say about that. Because when you come right down to it, it comes down to Congress and what army. Congress can issue whatever subpoenas it wants. It can issue as many consent citations as it wants. It can do all of that. But if Bush decides he's just going to sit this one out and claim that he's above the law, which he already has pretty much, or claim that the law doesn't apply to him, which he already has pretty much, and the soldiers back him up, what's Congress going to do? I'm not saying anything is going to happen. I don't make any predictions. I've learned that whenever I make predictions, I tend to be wrong about stuff. So, and when I do make predictions, I try to make them in very general terms. But my question is, if this happens, what are we going to do? If Bush decides he wants to hang in office past his time, I'm not saying it's going to happen. He may not want it to happen. I mean, you know, the presidency ages people, even if they don't take it seriously, like Mr. Bush doesn't take it seriously. The presidency ages people. And it's a lot of stress. And you know, by the way, Bush likes to use the term commander in chief a lot, and a lot of other people use that term when describing Mr. Bush. Look, let's be clear about this. First of all, we should stop using that term. I don't care if Bush says it. Bush is a, you know, criminal scumbag already, and really nothing he says or does really surprises me very much. But we should stop bandying about that term commander in chief. What that term means is very simply that the President of the United States is the highest ranking officer in the United States military. That's all that means. It has nothing to do with anything else. It has nothing to do with his authority over civilians. It has nothing to do with his authority as a civil servant. His authority comes from the people, in theory. I mean, we know it really doesn't, but you know what I'm saying. The point is that I forgot my train of thought there. But you see what I'm getting at. Lines have been crossed that should never have been crossed. And now we have to pull ourselves back from the brink. And I don't know if we're capable of doing that. Have we reached a point as people in this country where we're not really interested in being citizens anymore? We just want to be left alone to do our jobs and to raise our children. Because I'll guarantee you there are a lot of people who would certainly love a majority of the American people to really seriously take that attitude and just dismantle the entire thing. And if it does get dismantled, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? I don't know what I would do. I don't feel like there's anything I can do. If it gets to that point, then this radio show is pretty meaningless. The only reason I do this is in the vain hope that somebody's listening to at least understand that, you know, there's a human side of everything that's going on here. And I try to talk about it when I talk about, you know, people at work and stuff like that, because it does affect their lives. What happens in politics, we you know, a lot of people will sit there and tell you, well, you know, what happens in politics is politics, and it doesn't really affect what you're doing. And that's a bunch of bull. Just ask the people of Katrina, who were victimized by Hurricane Katrina, what the difference is between a good government response and a bad government response is. Because private companies are not equipped to do that. Hell, all the businesses in this country, especially places like Walmart, make huge livings on the fact that we have a great road system. And, of course, one that's falling apart because, you know, the same type of people who profit from the roads don't want to spend the money to help keep them in repair because, you know, that's taxation. We can't have any taxation, you know. It's all, everything we get is ours and we earned it ourselves and nobody had anything else to do with it. A bunch of lying. Well, maybe they're not lying. Maybe they're just ignorant. Some of them are lying. Anybody know a private company that would be willing to go there and pay all the money and build the roads? I don't. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. So one of the reasons why I moved to Chicago when I decided to make a move was because it's a city that has a good public transportation system. It does have the number 2 in the country. And the ability to get around is very important to me because I'm tired of you know, having to own a car. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm never going to own a car, and I'm not even saying that people shouldn't own cars. What I'm saying is that we should all rely a lot more on energy-saving devices like public transportation. Is it a pain in the ass sometimes? Yes, it is. And I'm as good as anybody else is at chewing out, you know, late buses and just screaming that this is late and that's late and this never showed up. So spare me all the libertarian nonsense. But I'm wondering, just as certain lines got crossed gradually during Rome's history, and as it changed from republic to empire, what are we leading towards now? The Republicans certainly are not quite at this point ready to take the imperial step. I think a lot of them would prefer to give us the pretense of freedom and democracy while they can go about their criminal enterprises unmolested, which is basically all it amounts to. Let's take our last break. I'm going to run and get a quick snack from the fridge, Bob. But don't worry, I'll be back before the commercial's over, Bob. Don't worry about it. You got one last chance to call. 304-658-5453 or 877-443-2366. We'll be right back.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. At last, the Democrats in Congress are flexing a little muscle. They're not holding impeachment hearings yet, as they should be, but the Dems on the House Judiciary Committee did vote to hold Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton in contempt of Congress. Now it's up to the whole House to decide whether to go forward with this, as surely it must, if it's going to have any institutional integrity left, and if we're going to have any semblance of checks and balances left. John Conyers put it well. If we countenance a process where our subpoenas can be readily ignored, where a witness under a duly authorized subpoena doesn't even bother to show up, where privilege can be asserted on the thinnest of bases and in the broadest possible manner, then we've already lost. Or take Alberto Gonzalez, who put on such a dizzying display of dissembling this week that Democratic senators are looking into perjury charges against the nation's leading law enforcement officer. The Bush blotter is growing longer by the day. As Molly Ivins used to say, half the administration is under average, the other half under indictment. Or should be, anyway. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Stand by your faith.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed lesbian Bible study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible. Like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't. So what's up with that?
You missed kiss and tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me. And I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed the pursuit of happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Stand by your man.
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered Conversation Radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, I love that song. That's all I am, just a gigolo. And if that's all I am, I'm certainly not getting enough money for it. How's everybody doing? You know, let's just go right to the phone. Let's talk to our good friend, Radine. Calling in. Hi, Radine. How are you?
Hey, Joe. I only have been threatening for almost years to call you, so I finally got around to it.
you've been threatening to call since long before I was even on the air, which is supposed to show you're very loyal, yeah.
I guess so. It seems like years by now, but anyway, months anyway. Let's see. A couple of things that just showed up in my email box this morning. Just reminders
of
both things we can go ahead and do just to start making it be known. I know most of the people haven't followed the sort of enough campaign, wearing a shirt that just says enough every day. So just wear a color then. They've started the Orange Revolution just every Friday or every day even. Just do it until people ask you about it. And then also, Dennis Kucinich, if you will sign the petition, he is going to put 5 names in every single day into the congressional record. And that way you can make sure your voice is heard and your name. Whatever you want to say about it, and it's starting with the Cheney impeachment.
Radine, no offense, I love you to death. You're great, and you're wonderful, and I want you to know, you know, how strongly I feel about that. But does it say anything about, you know, getting out the baseball bats and cracking some skulls? Because I really think that's what it's probably going to wind up coming down to.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but we might as well see where we are, all of us together, and connect and.
We've been doing this sort of stuff for, you know, since Bush got in office, and it really hasn't made much of a damn difference, has it? I mean, I love the marches, and I love the fact that people get out and people will take time off to do things like that. But
not until we all do it once, basically, is it going to make a difference? Until we,
well, you know, you know what,
don't
what
let
I
them do anything, don't do anything. Yeah.
Well, you know what I do is what I tell people is that what we really ought to do is just have a huge general strike for an entire month.
I agree.
The only people who should be doing any work at all are like hospital workers, police and fire, the people who provide the utilities. And I even go further. I recommend people do illegal things, like if you need food during this time, take it. Yeah. Go to the supermarket and just take it.
Yep.
Especially if it's
Row
a big
yourself on the
corporate.
Gears of the machine, as Mario Salvia would say.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's like, do that for a month, show everybody who really runs this country, and then you'll see some serious change. But that's never going to happen, unfortunately. At least not enough people.
Come on. Come on. Just do it.
Most of us are too fat to fight anyway.
Well, no, you can be very good blockers for those of us taller. Stand
you
on
know,
your heads with the spears.
There you go. I'll get my little slingshot with marbles, and I'll fire at the people from the distance. And, you know, and if you see somebody going to work, especially if you see somebody going to work at like a Walmart or something like that, just beat the crap out of them.
Oh.
Just beat the crap out of them, you know. Not so bad that they've got broken bones and stuff, but just, you know. And you know what? Strip them naked and tie them to a pole and let them stay there for a while. Don't do it at maybe, you know, Wisconsin or someplace really cold, you know. But, you know, just punish them, you know.
Oh, I wish we could do something to make people think, because they sure can't be enticed to.
Well, you know, and we know, and I was talking with Bob Kincaid before the show, and we were discussing Max Blumenthal's latest video where he went to the Christians United for Israel, with the completely insane born again Christians who want to make sure that Israel succeeds so that
make
the rapture
sure
can happen.
Revelation is a script, yeah.
Scary people. And you know, I know people like that. You know, I know people who read the Left Behind books. And, you know, one of the guys in the video was talking about, you know, have you ever read those Left Behind books? Now, you know, Radine, I'm not an expert on the Bible, okay? I don't know. But I don't recall anywhere in the Bible where it talks about this rapture thing. Do you know much about the Bible? Do you have any insight on this?
I studied it a lot being raised Seventh-day Adventist. So the rapture part is something that they definitely don't believe. They also have this healthy...
But is it in the Bible at all? I mean, that's my question.
No.
Is it in the Bible at all?
No, it says they shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. It does not say that they will be taken away without anybody seeing. It says that everyone will see him. That's the way the text that I remember says it. And they will be caught up together with him in the clouds, but it does not...
So they're just making this stuff up.
Yes. Yes, religions just make stuff up.
Well, you know, the Catholic Church recently put the lid on, what was it, limbo? Because you had all those really nagging questions like, what if somebody died before Jesus? Do they go to hell or to heaven? Well, let's see. They've got limbo. Yeah, they hang around in limbo until Judgment Day.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then there's purgatory, where you hang around. It's hell for a little while. For a little while. A few years you hang out in hell, and then, all right, you can get out now. Your parole's up.
Yeah.
Got a word from the
governor. Most of the time, if I think about any such thing like that, I'm pretty sure this existence is the purgatory.
You know, and I think about that time and time again, because it does seem to me that being the amateur historian that I am, that the entire world was designed to make pretty much everybody friggin' miserable. And I'm not even talking about us, you know, poor slobs like me at the bottom of the barrel. I'm talking about the people up on top. How happy could they possibly be?
Yeah.
Just having all
yeah,
the money can't mean everything.
Yeah, Twain would go into it, and he couldn't imagine why people would create the things, particularly even the idea of heaven, of where you would sit around and do things that you would never, ever choose to do. Yeah, right. How could that be heaven? Why would you sit on a cloud playing a harp when it wouldn't...
You know what my idea of heaven would be?
Mm-hmm.
You ever see the movie Defending Your Life?
No, I don't think so.
It's very much a New Age movie. It stars Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. And basically, the premise of the movie, Albert Brooks is this kind of cheesy sales guy who dies. And he doesn't go to heaven. He winds up in this place called Judgment City. And apparently, what it is that your life is judged. And you have like a little trial. And everything is based on what you did based upon fear. How fearful were you? How afraid were you? Because fear basically kills brain cells.
Yes.
As the way they put it in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and depending on how you do in the trial, you either come back here and try again, or you can move forward.
Yeah.
So, but at any rate, what's great about living in Judgment City is that you can eat everything you want and eat as much as you want, and you never gain weight, you never feel any ill effects.
So you never want to leave there.
I'd go there. You know, I'd go up there. If Kathy was there with me, I'd have a place where we'd have a nice Chinese place. We'll have a sushi bar, you know, all the stuff, a nice pizza place, an Italian place. You know, all the different places. And we, you know, I'm sure we'd get bored with it after a while. But just have all these really cool places and just enjoy for a little while without the tension of. You know, do we have enough money to pay the rent this month? And then, you know, is Kathy too sick to work? Or is she so sick that I can't work, which is what I had to deal with for a long time, you know?
Right.
So, but that's my idea of heaven. And, you know, and then there's stuff, if there's stuff above and beyond that, then, you know, I'd be willing to say, well, let's just take it one step at a time, you know?
Right. Anywhere where people care about everyone like they were a family member they liked, that's heaven.
If you can find, you know, we're growing up as I do in an Italian family, it's kind of hard to find family members that we like. But that's
I know, that's why I was very careful in not just using the word family.
Because, you know, some of the nastiest fights that you have are within family. God, especially on Kathy's side, we had some, you know, that's where the left behind people are.
Mm-hmm.
They're all on. Actually, it's on Kathy's first husband's side, the father of her kids, his side of the family are all left behind people and
yikes.
You just don't want to say anything to them because otherwise you're going, we're going to get the wrath of God on you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the wrath of God if I don't end this because we're coming up at the end of the show. Radine, thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks for sharing.
Good. Call again, okay? Love you. Great voice.
Thanks.
All right. God, has it gone by? That goes by so quickly, doesn't it? It's just remarkable to me that the show goes by so fast. The Head On Radio Show has been a production. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. Our good friend Bob Kincaid, doing the producing job out there in the studios in West Virginia, out in the boonies, out in the major league boonies. Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. Unreported News, your source for real news. America Back on Track with Tony Seaton follows on all of your head-on radio network stations. Until Monday, you all have a good weekend, and remember, hey, hey, get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug. With the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do every trick. Serve a carafe of mash upon a tray.
This is the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Shuttle program had too much to drink after the 12-hour bottle